Daniel with us today, and he is coming to take his full liberty. Whatever he wants to do, he can do. And I'm just excited to have them at Abundant Life Center. Would you just give him a great big Abundant Life Center welcome as he comes and delivers his heart? Amen. God bless you. Amen.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. It's such just a beautiful presence of God in here this morning. If we just close our eyes one more time and just worship Him, we're so thankful, God. We're so thankful that you came down to this earth, Lord Jesus, and you shed your blood so that we can have life, God, so that we can have liberty. And God, in spite of our mistakes, in spite of our hang-ups, your blood reaches over every single thing and every single thing we go through, God. Your blood, Lord Jesus, reaches over and gives us new life day after day after day. We're so thankful. We're so thankful. We're so thankful. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. God is so amazing. And before we even knew to ask, he set a plan for us so that we could have a Savior and so that we could be saved and we could be delivered from this world. And I'm just so thankful for that. And sometimes I know I get guilty just as someone who does music all the time that we can sometimes sing about the blood and about how God died for us. And in that process, we forget about the stains of our own sin. And I mean, because a lot of them have been washed away, and there's still some we remember time to time. But I just want to—I don't want to ever be in a place where I forget what God's brought me from, and the things that He's continually bringing me through. Amen. Amen. You can give Him a hand clap of praise this morning. Hallelujah. If I get a little bit more monitor, that'd be great. Thank you. And thank you, Pastor Grogan and Bishop, for allowing us to be a part, and not only this Sunday, but just through the years. For some of you may have heard this before, but my move to California in 2004, and some of y'all, and I went to Bible college, and I was part of the youth choir there for the first year, and then the second year, it was 2005 at the time, they said, "Hey, Kevin, take over the youth choir." So I was like, "Okay, sure." And it's because they didn't have anybody else to do it. So it's like, "Hey, Kevin, here you go." And our first event ever was the experience here. And I drove to this place, said Tulare. Here we go. Tulare, which at the time I didn't know, or Tulare, I didn't know how to pronounce it. From Maryland, there's zero anything like. All the name streets are like Ben Road, Michael Street, you know. So I was new to the names, and I came in, and there was this interesting smell that I didn't really smell in Maryland either, because I literally probably the only time I ever saw that cow was like at the zoo. So born right outside of D.C. So I just came in, and just such a wonderful church, such a wonderful spirit, such wonderful people, and enjoyed my time there. And who knew that God would have allowed this place to be, for me, a place, a launching pad of sorts, and for my own personal ministry. And there's a lot of songs I've written, or maybe burdens God's put on my heart that they were first given or quote-unquote tested in this building with an assortment of backdrops and setups through the years. And but the same thing was always there, that you could always feel the presence of God amongst the people. And I thank you for that, for allowing me to be a part of that and allowing me to grow in your midst. So being here this morning is even such a double blessing. And I'm also blessed to be here with my wife and Jada. 10 and a half months. And we've been blessed to be able to we were married in Georgia, then lived in Stockton, and then for about 6 months, and now we live back in Georgia. But now we live in Georgia. And for those of you who are younger people who are thinking about Bible college, you can find a wife there, as both pastors let you know. You can find through connection, so as well as the will of God for your life. But I'm just thankful that we get to be together and travel. Amen. We're going to read from Psalms chapter 1 today, or Psalms 1. And we can read together. says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringing forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Let's read verse 3 one more time together. It says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Let's pray to God. Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you just so much for the wonderful presence that we've felt this morning, and for your spirit that is just so present in this place, God. And I feel, Lord, this burden, this thought, this thing to share that you placed on my heart for over a week now. And as I try to deliver it, I pray that not only myself will continue to be changed, but that somebody else in this place, God, would attach this word. And together as a church, as a body, we become closer to you and leave here changed, God. Leave here transformed. Leave here ready to tackle on and live for you even stronger. God, we give you all glory and praise. In your precious name, Jesus, we pray and ask. Let's all say amen. 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 You may be seated. And also, it's good to see Alex, and we spent a summer together and traveling kind of literally everywhere, and so it's always good to see him. He was a sounding board. He was the guy who, when I wanted to say something to somebody, I couldn't. Alex is always ready to volunteer to take care of that situation for me, so I'm thankful for him and just excited to see what God's doing in his life and ministry. And of course, his wife is the main reason for that, but we're happy for him that way too. Amen. There are two types of trees, as I recently learned about, in a general sense, obviously not species of trees, but when you come to trees, there are trees that we see that normal, where maybe grow apple, where they have its season, where the leaves are there, and then the fruit's produced. And then fall comes or winter comes and the leaves wither away, and then we wait for the next season to come and the leaves go. And then there's this other tree which are called evergreens. We're familiar with it in Maryland. We have a lot of the evergreen, the pine trees and stuff like that. They're everywhere and they stay green all year round. Now there's some evergreens, they're actually not all green. Their leaves may be a different color. That's what you see in the redwoods and all those stuff like that. But there are trees that they're doing good all throughout the year. They're able to be sustained throughout the year. And a lot of these are, you know, places where the climate isn't super cold. And there's some that can benefit from a colder climate as well. And then there's also evergreens that bear fruit. To name one is a avocado plant. Avocados, actually, a tree is considered an evergreen. Mangoes, considered evergreen. And they're usually in areas where, again, there's water, there's a source of water and moisture that they can live off, and it doesn't get too cold, so that way they can continue to bear the fruit in the season, and their leaves always stay green. And so as I was looking at this, and don't worry, this is not a science thing, service or anything like that, and I was looking at what makes, especially these ones with the fruit, like what makes them, and it says that the soil, and this is the Kevin Google search for like 30-minute version, so don't get too deep. But it says that the soil has to be well-drained. And I said, okay, I don't know what that means. I just imagine like, I don't know, soil and the thing and it's being drained or something. But what that basically means is that the amount of water that it receives, it has to be just the right, not letting the water go. So when it rains, the soil isn't good enough to keep it to nourish a tree. Or on the other end where it's not absorbing any and it just kind of has a flood there, but the tree actually, it goes somewhere else because it's never into the soil and the tree never gets it. So it's saying for these evergreen fruit-bearing trees, there has to be a soil that is, again, well-drained, able to daily and consistently take in and hold the water that it needs. Amen. So as I was looking, there's all these people who are, you know, questions. How can I do this? How can I do this? I want to plant this, and I live in Mississippi. This place, I live in Zone 8 and Zone 12, and all these, they're trying to find out how they can have and prepare and be able to successfully grow a evergreen tree, and they preferably fruit-bearing. And a lot of them, they actually want it for privacy from their neighbors. So they're like, how can I build so my neighbors can't, I want the leaves to always be up. So I thought it was just interesting, again, that there are some, and basically, then you go and there's articles, there's farming and, or I guess planting, gardening things that say these are the things that you need to do to your soil to turn it into the type of soil that you need. Amen? I was like, what is he talking about? So we read in Psalms 1 earlier, and you can put that back up. In the beginning of this, we'll get to the tree a little later. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And in another version, that's the King James, in another version it says, blessed is the one who does not walk in the step with the wicked. And the NLT says, oh, the joys to those who do not follow the advice of the wicked. So as you look into this, okay, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not. And look up that word. I was like, you know, do something really spiritual. Let's look up walketh in the its original language in the Hebrew to see what it means. And it means to walk. Very deep, isn't it? And so I was like, okay, but the usage is very interesting. And it's the same word, the way the word's used, it's referred to as when Jesus was walking in the garden, when he would walk in the garden with Adam and Eve. And also the same way the word is used, it says in the Bible, it says when Enoch walked with God and he was taken, also saying, it refers to Noah, it says Noah walked with God. So it's not saying that it's just a, when it says blessed is the man that walketh, it's not saying it's just like a random thing that he just happened to walk by, but saying it's a walk, it's a path that they're desiring and to do occasionally, whether it's sometimes, and in this case it's showing almost a pattern, a walk. So it's saying blessed is the man that walketh not. That so basically this person that's walking around, it says walk not in the counsel. And this simply means advice. It's just saying when somebody counsels you, they're giving you advice. There's some people, when we have a situation, we know, like, I need to go to this person because they're going to give me good counsel. Then there's other people, you're like, I need to stay away from this person because they're going to offer me counsel that I don't want to hear because last time they did it, it was the worst thing I could ever possibly do. And I'm seeing them coming, and like, how's life? You're like, fine. I'm not telling you because I don't want to hear what you, and then they find out from somebody else, why didn't you tell me? And I'm, because I didn't want you to tell me. Amen. So counsel simply means advice as we know it. And then there's this word here, which I'll be honest, I always saw this thing as ungodly. And even in other translations, it reads wicked. And the first usage of this word actually, and so I was saying, okay, ungodly and wicked, these things together. And in Genesis chapter 18, verses 23, it just simply says, and Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? And he's saying, will you destroy the children of Israel with the people in Egypt? And we know, or if you not know, but a lot of times, or basically in the Bible, Egypt is a representation of the world and sin. So it's just saying, well, are you going to do both your people and the sin? And then in 1 Samuel 2:9, it says, he will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. So again, it's showing that there's the saints, and then there's the wicked, or the ungodly. So as I dove into this, I realized that this isn't really referring to a bad person. It's simply referring to somebody who's not godly. If that makes sense, somebody who's not saved. And these people aren't necessarily evil. It's not the same thing. It's a different word. And sometimes they translate the same. They may, for the word evil, they may use the word wicked in the sense. But in the sense, this is not saying that it's a bad person. It's just saying it's not, it's not a person who is part of the body of Christ. And when you think of who you get advice from, who you get your counsel from, you think, okay, should, and in that sense, it's like, oh, that person isn't ungodly. And it's like, so you're saying we shouldn't go talk to anybody or ask anybody anything who's not in church? I'm not saying that at all. We need doctors, amen, we need teachers, we need people with expertise in many areas of our life. But when we come to life decisions that shape what we're going to or an activity, something that's at a big juncture, and even daily junctures of things that kind of direct our path and serious decisions that we need to make, we need to follow the advice, the counsel of God, of the man of God, the preacher, the bishop that God's placed in your life, and even others in the church who you know talk to God. And that's the counsel and the wisdom. And it doesn't mean that you don't listen to other things, but there's a godly filter that is your counsel and what else to take. Amen? And the thing about the advice of the ungodly, which there may be a lot of wisdom in that, but they're always, the decision always based on what we know, what we can see, and maybe what we feel. And there may be wisdom in that, but the advice of godly is usually based on what Jesus sees, what God sees, what he knows, and that can go past what we can understand. And a lot of times when we even look in this, when it say ungodly, sometimes it's ourself when we're in the wrong spirit. We're thinking about what do we want, because that's usually when you ask the world for anything, for advice, it usually kind of like, well, what makes you happy? What do you want to do? Like, it's what do you, and if it's something that you need to say, oh, don't worry about that. You can sacrifice that. You can sacrifice that. Do what makes you happy. Oh, don't let anybody tell you anything. Do what makes you happy. And even in today's society, and again, this isn't a, not really bad people, it's just today's society. And I'm 35 years old. And if some of you were wondering how I went to school in 2004 for college, I wasn't a genius or anything like that. I wasn't seven. So, 35, and I'm just thinking, even 10, 15 years ago, for young people, I'm so old, I remember when YouTube came out. So, if you're trying to get my age, I wasn't even, when I went to college, there was no YouTube. And I was like, man, I am older than I really think I am. So, 10 years ago, things that were like appalling in society are now everyday things that no one even blinks an eye at or looks the other way, because it's just degrading in these last days. And we find ourselves taking advice from these people, from these media outlets, from these things, and we're taking counsel from them. And yes, they're very good people who have advice, but a lot of times they're not in church, and the truth is they don't hold tomorrow. They hold wisdom of the past and how to navigate, but God holds tomorrow, and the advice that he gives us is what we need. I say sometimes, as I was thinking about, like, sometimes, and actually many times, God is leading us and advising us for tomorrow's storm, not today's gratification. Understand what I'm saying? Like, a lot of times we're in a situation and we're, and what times, especially as Christians, we sometimes ask God first, sometimes we ask our friends first, and then if our friends, or we look it up, or we kind of see or show what our heart's telling us to do, and if it's too crazy or we maybe not sure, then, you know, we'll ask God. And sometimes we'll ask God, and if we're like, oh, I don't know about that, then we go and try to see what else can happen, what else we can get our counsel from. But God, remember, is he's trying to lead us and advise us for tomorrow, not just the moment. And a lot of times we seek counsel that provides us with the moment. So we need to make sure that we aren't living off of the advice of the ungodly. Amen? So the verse continues in Psalms, and it says, "Nor standeth in the way of sinners." And the New King James Version says, "Nor stands in the path of sinners." And the NLT just says, or stand around with sinners. And again, this had this another, I went to the, you know, put out the Strong's and had this really deep revelation that the word stand means to stand. And I'll let that sink in. And but it also, with stand, it also, words that are used is to portray that is also to remain, to endure. So to stand, this is in the way. And the way, in the sense, it means a road or a path. And in the dictionary, it actually, it refers to it as a, it's a course of action. So again, you're standing, you're remaining in this way. And sinners, this actually literally means sinners. These are people who are living in sin. They're displeased, they're living a life displeasing to God. And when the same word, when you've heard of Sodom and Gomorrah, basically it was just this evil time. And if you ever want to get a little worried, go look at the things they did and look at what's going on in society right now. Sadly, it's not that different. And Sodom and Gomorrah was just as wicked as could be, and God like wiped it from the earth. And it says, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. So it's referring to, in this word wicked here actually is what we think about as evil, meaning truly bad people. And this word sinning is showing people who are living against God, like knowingly. And so as life would have it, when you keep walking around something and listening and kind of following, you start to spend more time around that area. And it goes from listening to the ungodly, maybe, or listening to just, you know, things, the advice and following and having your eyes set on those things. And again, it doesn't mean they're bad, but all of a sudden you find yourself standing amongst the people who are, they know what they're doing. They are sinners. And again, doesn't mean they're like, you know, a murderer or a drug dealer or anything like that, but it just means the intent of their heart is against God. And sometimes we find ourselves spending time with them day in and day out. And again, I don't mean you go to work, you go to, no, I don't mean like that, but I just mean the time and the energy and the virtue we give out, that's where our time is spent. And a lot of times it's hours and hours and days being filled with the mindset and worldview. And again, when I say people, I don't necessarily even mean just in person, but just what we set our eyes and our ears upon. Amen. And finally, verse 1 concludes. It says, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And the ESV says, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers or join in with mockers. And that's what the NLT says. And this word sit, when you think about it, also means to dwell, to remain, to abide. And this seat can be considered a habitation or a dwelling place. And so it's now saying this person who was once walking, and then they end up standing, and then now they're sitting. It's a progression. And it's the same way where there's a new restaurant, and I don't know, we were talking about the Popeye sandwich. The favor of God allowed a pastor to walk in, and even though somebody was waiting for 2 hours, he walked in and had a sandwich in 3 minutes, and that's the blessing of God on your life. Us in Georgia, we went to, it was really weird, after service on Wednesdays, we usually go to Chick-fil-A, and the Chick-fil-A line was actually kind of empty, and I was like, this is weird. So we drove about 3 minutes. I was like, I want to try the new Popeye sandwich, and it was just in my spirit, you know. And we drove down there, and there was like 20-something cars in the Popeyes line. If you've ever been to Popeyes, if there's one car in line, you're still going to be out a good 10, 15 minutes. So I was like, no way. Inside, it was like 20-something people. I was like, no way. And I was not going to wait. But what happens is, you know, I don't even remember the last time I've been to Popeyes, but, you know, I was, in quote-unquote, walking by, just going by my life and seeing, oh, this Popeyes sandwich, okay. Then all of a sudden, I went on YouTube and watched a couple videos of people comparing both sandwiches, and like, oh, my goodness. And so I started getting this advice. I'm hearing this advice, like, you know. And so I'm like, okay. So some of us are like, let's go stand in line. And I'm not saying Popeyes is an antichrist or anything like that. I'm just giving a story to relate. But it's just the same way where we see something and our attention and our appetite starts to be for it. Even we don't even know how it tastes, but it seems curious and we're hearing what other people say. And that same way for us, whether it's a new toy that we have to have or an electronic or a gadget or a something to a new mower to ride on or a car or whatever it is, a dress. We see these things, these advertisements, and we hear about it and we kind of look into it. And that's just kind of us walking and just like, oh, I think we should do it. People telling you, and oh, this is why it works. And watch read the reviews. Reviews are counsel. That's what they are. They're a counsel. I love reviews. Also, I'm the person on YouTube who like starts the video and then scrolls down and reads all the comments. Because the comments are usually better than the video on YouTube, whatever it is. And if you see a whole bunch of dislikes, oh, it can't be good. Like, because I'm looking to their counsel before I even do it. So in the same progression of life, the way it works, and that's why advertisement is the way it is. We see stuff and it's speaking this advice. And then we end up kind of, okay, let's go a little near it. And then next thing you know, we're sitting with it. Like, why'd I just spend $400 on that? You know, why'd I just do this? Or all this thing, or I can't believe I just waited an hour and a half in line for a chicken sandwich from Popeyes. And I don't even like the pickles. So as you see this, the writer again is saying this, there's this progression of where it went just to getting advice from the ungodly. Then now all of a sudden you've got this place where you're standing in the path, you're kind of hanging around them, and now you're sitting. You're joining with the mockers. And this scornful, this is not people who are in sin, but these are people who are actually like against God. That anti-church, anti-God, anti-Chick-fil-A spirit, amen. I'm just kidding about that. But it is really funny. There's some people who hate Chick-fil-A, like hate. And that's so weird to me. I'm like, it's a restaurant. Like, and I'm even the whole, all these articles on like Newsweek, Washington Post, LA Times, they're talking about how the good thing about Popeyes is that it's a chicken sandwich, not from Chick-fil-A. And it's not a sermon about Chick-fil-A. But what I'm trying to tell you is, this spirit of the age is so anti anything that has, that stands up for any type of righteousness, any type of God. And the thing is, like, the whole, and of course the thing is about the whole, the agenda with the same-sex marriage and everything like that. All they said is, we support one thing. It's like, they can support their things and it's okay, but if we support our things, then we're hateful. So, next thing you know, this little thing that started out walking ends up in you sitting. And when I sit, it's not just saying, it's to sit, remain, abide in this seat or this dwelling place with people who are against God. It's walking, it's the first thing with the unsaved, standing now, a little more stationary with sitters, and then sitting comfortable with the scornful. And what's interesting, well, the Bible's trying to tell us that who we let in our lives and the amount of time and influence they have matter. Because it didn't say being ungodly. It didn't say being a sinner. It didn't say being scornful. It says sitting with them. So that means it's a thing that the who you're surrounding and what you're surrounding yourself by, it matters. Your friends matter. And your family matters. And I'm not saying like, I mean, I know we can't choose our family, but what I'm trying to say is what you, you don't go excommunicate yourself or anything like that. I'm not saying that. But if there's something that in your own life you're maybe trying to break free from or you're trying to get away from, and I've not had an experience where in my own family context, we went where we all kind of grew up from church, grew up in, and then people left. And I've had friends who were the opposite, where they grew up out of church and they came in. And for me, there's some things I've had to make, never awkward, never done that. It's not my job to preach to them, and it's my job to pray for them. Amen. But there are some things that I may have to just kind of back up from or go to another room for a little bit and come back. And there's other times where I've been like, I'm sorry, God. I don't want to make a scene. Your grace extends. But if you're maybe, whatever your situation is, maybe there's some things you're trying to, God's delivering you from, and you're like, man, you're trying to find out. And the truth is, the Holy Ghost helps us be stronger, but we're still human. So it just may be that you need that godly counsel from pastor. And they may come up with a plan and say, like, hey, just go over, maybe don't stay as long, or if things get crazy later, just maybe make your night a little shorter or come a little earlier in the morning to compensate. Or just say, you know what? I just want you to give me a call when you're out of there. We'll make sure everything's okay. You know, just there's this thing, but it's this counsel of the godly that will help you navigate, because just where you spend your time, it does matter. And then sometimes you'll, in this counsel, you'll be feeling, man, I feel like there's an opportunity. I've been praying for my friend or my family or my coworker, and I feel to say something, but I'm not even sure what to say. And that's where the godly counsel comes in and says, here, we can pray with you. We can go and we can see God do move in this situation. Amen. And I had a personal, this is a personal thing, and it was some years back, I can't remember, maybe like 8 years or so, 7 years ago. And it happened actually probably like 5-6 years before that, and then it kind of to another degree. But God challenged me about some of my media intake and the stronger filter that I needed to have. And I was like, that's the problem, God. And I didn't word it like that, you know, I want to be respectful, but I'm like, that's how me and my friends hang out. We watch movies like on the weekends, you know? So it was, and there was not a, there was some kind of filter, but not a great one. And so that meant for me, I had to back off a little bit, which felt a little awkward because we were like, hey, why aren't you coming, Kevin? Like, oh, you know, I gotta change my sock drawer again or something. You know, I came up with better excuses than that. But it was a lonely period. It was weird. And I realized, God, one, he wanted me to spend some more time with him. That was part of the thing. And then two, I also started becoming an orchestrator of, hey, let's go out, or hey, let's hang out, hey, let's do this, so I could still nurture the same relationships, but in a different environment, if that makes sense. And but it was the wisdom of God and the counsel of God, and I became closer and stronger relationship with God in doing that. And like I kind of alluded to earlier, there's some of us here today that we don't really have maybe those relationships or that issues of maybe people we can point to, but our phones, tablets, laptops, TVs, projectors put us in these environments for endless hours a day. We maybe don't hang out, quote unquote, with these people, but we spend 10, 20, 30 hours a week watching them act out this ungodly, wicked, scornful lifestyles. And we call it entertainment. And I think it's interesting that we sit and partake of it. And again, this is not like a meteor message or anything like that, but I do believe that sometimes we can be like, oh, I'm not tagged to this life. But God is like, but you actually watch it and let it seep into your spirit all the time. And I feel like God dropped this on me maybe a couple years ago. And with this whole, with the social media emergence, the whole, what they call it is you follow somebody. You follow. And I think I went to click something or something like that, and God is saying, like, who are you following? And I just think it wasn't a coincidence that's the word that emerged, like, oh, who are you following? Follow, follow, follow. And remember, anything you ever give to God, he's going to return it 100,000 times over. You can't outgive God. It doesn't always come through the same place. You know, it's not like, I need a financial blessing. Here's 50 cents, which may be all you have, and then you expect God to give you $5,000. But it may be that you get a discount on something else. It may be that I know me and my wife, our personal testimony in the season, after having the same job for 12, 13 years, we're kind of living this life where we're literally trusting in God. And in the midst of that, we were talking about the other day, God's kind of challenged us to give more than we have before. So I'm like, this is the wrong season to ask that, God, when I'm not at times sure where the paycheck is going to. And even there's things that we wanted to put on our wedding registry, but we were like, we don't want people to think we're bougie or anything like that. So we did it. And you can tell her, one day I get a text or I guess like Instagram thing. You know those Instagram, like if you or Facebook too, whoever does this, I'm going to pick a free random person to give something away to this. You know, like we're like, dude, next thing you know, she's like, babe, what? We just want a $700 Vitamix. I was like, praise God, because we weren't going to be buying a $700 anything. Amen. And I wholly believe this God. Then we've been in certain random like stores, and then literally we've seen appliances that are $250 off, brand new. So it wasn't. Now, truth is, if God would have gave me the $250, I would have spent it on something else. But he's like, your wife wants this, so I'm going to just deliver it you in this way, blessing. Amen. But you understand what I'm saying? It doesn't always come back in the same exact form. But God will return and he'll bless your life because he's looking at everything. So, okay, let's keep reading. Let's go to Psalms 1, verse 2. And it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. This word delight, that just means to pleasure. Just have pleasure in the law. That's God's direction, his instruction, his word. And to meditate, I know sometimes we like envision like our legs crossed and our arms like that, you know. And but that's literally just to focus on something. To meditate, to think of, and even the usage of the word sometimes is to recite, to say it. So this right here is the answer. This is the how. This is how we can escape. Maybe as we were talking about this progression, and we're kind of thinking over our lives and see some situations or some habits or some things that we kind of need to change. Because we've been walking or standing, and maybe somebody's coming in here and you've been sitting. And this is your only God time during the week, this 2 hours on Sunday morning, and everything else is a mess. God wants you to know today's a new day. You don't have to worry about what happened last night or even what happened this morning. Today's a new day, and this here is the answer. All you have to do is, I say all, but delighting in the law of the Lord. And I think it's interesting, the writer didn't say delight in the Lord. Because to me that makes sense, delight in the Lord. But he says in the law of the Lord. And so I was kind of like, okay, God, why not in the Lord? And I felt this kind of drop on my spirit and said, and we've all know these people who say, I'm a Christian, I love God, I'm a this, I'm a that, but their lifestyles and or attitude don't really match up to what they're saying. And I've realized it could be that it's because they don't want God's law. They just want to have the warmness of his love and the feeling. They want the feel goods. They don't want his instructions. They don't want to follow anything. They just want to have the security that God loves me, God loves me, God loves me, in which God does love you. But there's a book here that he's given us a lot of blessings and a lot of promises and some instructions for us to have a blessed life. Amen. So we have to delight. Everybody say delight. Meditate day and night. One more time. Delight. Meditate day and night. So meditate, this thing. There's a terminology, I'm sure none of you have ever heard it, and maybe at work or at school you've heard people mention it, but binge watching. That's when somebody watches the same show I guess it used to be, I guess, defined as two episodes in a row, but now they've moved it to three. And because, you know, so three episodes in a row at least. And binge watching, that's meditating. That's this thing is on your mind. Your favorite sports team, that's meditating. And I always laugh, like, in Maryland, the games started at one. So just enough time you get home. You know, if it's your team at one for the football game, then you just eat dinner at home or, you know, you catch it. Then I moved to California. I was like, this game starting there in church. You know, it was a really weird thing. And you'd be amazed how many, multitasking people, meditators we had. Because it's like Bible app, flip, score the game, flip back, Bible app. And I was just like, man, it's amazing. And we don't deal with that temptation in Maryland because of the time. Hello. That's meditating. You're thinking about, I wonder who's winning. These days you're thinking like, I wonder if my fantasy team is doing okay. The political climate. You're wondering what's going on here, going on that. And again, these aren't evil things, but they're just stuff that a lot of times we meditate on. What's happening? What's going to happen with this? What's going to happen with that? Those aren't bad things. Our hours that we spend on social media, we're meditating. What restaurant you're going to eat after church today? I'm just kidding. I caught some of you guys there. But if you have a test or an exam, I hope you're going to meditate and focus on your things. If you're trying to pass for a job license or something like that, if you're starting a new job or family, you're going to be meditating and focusing on how I can do the job best or how I can be the best husband or wife or about to have kid, the best parent. Those are normal, good, those are good things. It's okay to meditate. But what the Bible is saying, he wants us to delight in his laws and his instructions. That's the key. And everything else will flow under there because we'll have the direction. And it says day and night. And this isn't a media message, but I did feel like this was a great example for all of us to be convicted by, and me first. It says the average, and I'll explain what I mean in a second. 2018 average American TV time is 3 hours and 44 minutes a day. So that means sleep, I think the average sleep is like 6.5 to 7 hours a day, and then work is like 8 to 9 hours a day. Drive time, eat time, and then there's still that 3 hours and 45 minutes on average. So that includes weekends and stuff like that. And it says 18% binge watch frequently. That means they want it. And it said 26%, or almost a quarter, a little over a quarter of the ages 19 to 29, they binge actually daily. And there was a poll about watching, you know, Netflix and stuff like that. And 76% of them say it's a refuge from the busyness, the crazy society, and that's why they do it. And it 73%, it makes them feel good. Yet 40% say that they felt more anxious this year than they did the year before, in spite of how it makes them feel. Then there's this other thing, which I thought it was about adults they had surveyed, and it says 52% of adults have stayed up all night to watch a show. 76% of ages 18 to 29 have done the same. Of all TV watchers, as they say, and this includes all media platforms, they said 29% have watched a new season of something within a 24-hour span. And of ages 18 to 29, 51% of them have done that. It says 24% of all TV watchers have canceled social plans to watch a show. That for the younger folks, it goes back to just that age. It goes to 45%. And then I thought this was funny. 22% of all adults and 42% of 19 to 29 have watched a show at work. And super funny, he's not at the church or anymore, but I remember the media people, they kept coming in on Sunday morning and noticing Netflix was on the computer at the 99 church back in Stockton. And we had a guy who was a security person, would spend his time for security in a room inside the church that's closed off, protecting the area with his Netflix account. Amen. I know none of you have ever done that, but I'm sure you've seen your coworker or something like that. And this is just TV. This is not even including social media time. But we as humans, we meditate and focus on things that usually have no eternal value. And yes, there are great inspirational media out there and everything like that. I'm not, it's again, not anti-media. But they can't replace God's word and his law. Amen. And as I read this survey, the truth is probably 95% of us have done one of these things at some point in life. It was a bad day, got laid off of something, so you come home, click or open something and read or whatever on your phone for countless hours and you wonder where time goes. And in that moment, I was thinking, and this is where Kevin gets hit right here. I was thinking of a survey. It's like if we took a survey this morning, you know, had everybody go to such surveymonkey.com and Google survey and fill this out. I wonder how many of us, and this is me included, have stayed up all night reading the Bible. We read a whole section of the Bible or watched a whole multi-day, maybe there's a conference where there's some incredible men of God on the preaching and it's on YouTube or we have access to it, or it was a ladies' conference, the men's conference, we got the DVDs, and within that 24-hour span, we just had to get to the next one, Or maybe just we had this such hunger for God that we had some social plans, but we just had to cancel it because at that point in our life or where we were at in that day, just God's presence meant more to us than anything else. Or you're at work and maybe I don't know if this is right or not, but you're sneaking in a sermon, or you just at least have your Bible just right there on your desk open so that anytime you have a little free time, you just glance over and read a scripture and let it just kind of marinate in your spirit. In the same way we check the sports, I am a Yankees fan and a Lakers fan. Also, I've kind of become a Raiders fan when I was here. So I have teams that I do like, and I like to check on their scores. And God is like, how many times a day do you check on my word? Do you check on me? And during election, we're like scanning, going to every gas station, we're looking at restaurant, like we're trying to see what's going on. And if it's Black Friday, Amazon lightning deals, we're glued in front of our phone, or eBay bid, we're watching that thing. You know, just these things in life that we always check on, we're meditating. And this article I was reading, I read a couple, they're saying, I'm almost done, that it actually has nothing to do with the thing. But in this case, we're talking about Netflix or streaming. And actually, the whole binging thing has nothing to do with binging. In the same way that maybe the sports thing or the video game thing or whatever it is, that it, the and I'm not saying against hobbies or anything like that, but I'm talking about this constant thought. And they said it has to do with the dopamine, which is something in your body, and basically, and that's why a lot of kids who are very tablet, I need a tablet, they say with the lights and the visual effects, it excites the dopamine in there, and they require it more. And this is Dr. Renee Carr, a clinical psychologist, says dopamine gives the body a natural internal reward of pleasure that reinforces continued engagement in that activity. It is the brain's signal that communicates to the body, this feels good, you should keep doing this. So as it turns out, it isn't the show we're craving. Instead, it's the feeling of pleasure we get from watching episode after episode. You're experiencing a pseudo-addiction to the show because you develop cravings for dopamine. Your body does not discriminate against pleasure. It can become addicted to any activity. So again, any activity or substance that can constantly produces dopamine. So who made us? God, yes, okay, it wasn't a trick question or anything like that. God made us, so that's something he's put in us naturally. So I wonder, as it's saying, as the deer panteth for the water and this desiring God more and more, that there's something he's putting in us that for some of us it may mean we're starting tomorrow, we're saying, God, I'm giving you 5 or 10 minutes of my time. And then all of a sudden it grows to an hour and a couple hours, and then all day we just miss and just desire to be in God's presence. And the other things of life that really had our attention so much, we don't quite care about it anymore because we're just so focused on God. And then everything feels lighter, we're happier, we're in a better mood. People are like, what happened to so-and-so? And the truth is, you get to this point where you just want more and more of God, and the more you get of him, the more you're changed. In situations that used to bog you down, they don't anymore. Things that you'd go into in your charged situations where things just at home, maybe they're just bad. It's a war zone. As soon as you get in there, all of a sudden, you're answering stuff and responding in ways you didn't expect. You're like, wow, I normally would have responded to something else, but something came out of me first that was way better than what my mind wanted to do. And that's because you've been spending time around God. And as you build, all of a sudden, you're desiring, and your subconscious and your spirit is saying, God, I want you to counsel me. Amen. So there's this thing in us that I feel that God wants us to grow and to desire him, and that for us to feel and have this relationship after him. And then all of a sudden that spirit, that relationship we have with God, becomes a filter that we do everything by. When we go about our things, we have this God filter. We have this God advice that gives us wisdom on how to move and how to react and what things maybe to spend our time with, what things we may go purchase something. God's like, don't purchase that. And either 3 weeks later, there's the same thing for twice the price, or the person who comes behind you and bought it literally broke 2 days later. And sometimes you may never know, but you just feel a peace, okay? So hold out on this. I never forget, a friend told a story where he was leaving campus. He usually made a left turn to go to Walmart, and he felt to go right. And he would lead in prayer and stuff like that, pastor at the church now. And so he made a right turn, and he looked over, and there was his friend, who actually is a minister now, doing great. He was arrested. He saw him pulled over with a cop. He had left his license, and this cop is about to give him the business. It's all bad, ready to handcuff him and everything. And like Tim walks out like, hey, what's going on? And he's like, oh yeah, I go to Bible college with him. He's my friend. He said, really? He's like, yeah, I said his name, everything like that. And the cop let him off, go free. And that's just one story. There's a million, but that one popped in my head. But even for him making a right turn to go to Walmart instead of left, God was designing, because he had spent time with him delighting and he could hear his voice. Amen. We're almost done. Psalms verse 3, we can go to there, and it says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And as we, in the beginning of the When I Got Up Here, I talk about this tree, this evergreen tree, where it's always full of life. It's always connected to the source. And that's what it's saying. When you delight in the Lord, when you meditate on him day and night, it doesn't mean life's going to be perfect. It doesn't mean there's going to be a storm. But there's always, you're going to always have this constant source of God's presence encouraging you, keeping you, leading you through. And that when life gets so, because sometimes life is just hard. There's sicknesses, there's trials. There's envelopes that you don't even want to answer because the news is even worse. There's brokenness. There's broken relationships. There's anger, jealousy, hurt, all these things that come in with life and just humanity. And God is saying, I can keep you through that. And when your season comes, you're going to bear fruit because you're going to be healthy and because you're connected to the source. And the main part of the service, as you will, is that line that says, at the last line, it says, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And that word prosper also means it shall break out, it shall be profitable. Whatsoever you do shall prosper. And the way this whole sermon was birthed, when God dropped it on my heart and he was hitting me with everything, and he's still hitting me with stuff, but I felt the word of the Lord was, it hurts him to see his people struggling, to see us going up and down and up and down and dragging along. And we have a great ladies' conference where we feel inspired and we go, or there's a special evangelist or that service where we get a touch from God, and then we go back down and then we feel like life is so heavy. And we feel like we're a failure and condemnation sets in. And some of us, we've lost our way and we're not even, we don't even know it. And we're on this path where we're slightly off. We're supposed to be going this way, but we're just slightly off. And as we're walking, you know, we're still close enough to the edge where we can kind of see. But we're slowly walking and getting further and further from God's path. And we don't know, but what's happening is we're walking towards some other things and some other counsel. And God is not angry. He's not frustrated, but he's saying, I love my people. And if you would just let me come back into your life, if you would just spend some time with me, and that I have so many blessings, I have security, I have peace, I have rest that I want to offer to you. And it's so hard for me to fathom. It says, well, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's anything. I'm like, God, how can that be possible? I'm human. But God's saying, when you're close to me, when you're delighting in me, everything will be okay. I will bring you through everything. Let's all stand. I know this morning's almost been like a Bible study of sorts, if you will. But I really, really, really believe there's some people, myself included, this morning, where God is seeing you and saying, I love you, my child, and I have a better place for you. I have a freedom. I have frustration. And some of us, God is trying to like knock on our heads and says, please wake up. You're daily missing out on blessings. You're daily missing out on situations. And some of us are in empty places, and maybe we're pushing God, and we may even be upset at God because we prayed a prayer and he didn't answer it the way that he wanted us to. But God is letting you know, like, I am here for you this morning. Come back, I'll walk you through it. Let's all bow our head. Lord Jesus, I love you. We love you, God, and we know that you first loved us, God, and your grace moves upon us and across. And across this whole building, Jesus, there are 100 and 200, however many people, different stories, different situations, God, different backgrounds, Jesus, different weeks. Some people, we've had an okay week. Some people, God, this morning, it took every single thing with us, God, to crawl out of bed and come to church. And even though we were coming to church, there was no true joy. There was no true anything. We just coming because we know we had to, and that's the right thing to do. But God, you have people are all over walks, every kind of walk of life, God. And there's some of us even who we feel like we're doing okay, but all of a sudden our attention, we've started to meditate and delight in some other things, and your word, our prayer time remains untouched. God, it remains empty, and you're saying, my child, I want you to come back to me. I want you to come back to me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Just continue to pray, Lord Jesus. Let him just be real with God one-on-one right now. Say, God, I want you just to search my heart, search my actions, search my mind, search my desires, Jesus. These are things in my life that I need to hand over to you. Maybe I've taken them on my own control, Jesus, and I've started to meditate on the problem, Lord. Or maybe you've blessed me with something. I've made that, God, my desire, and I need to put it back to you and not the ministry or the blessing, but back to you, Jesus. Maybe there's a promise you've given me and I've tried to take it and do it on my own, but I need to come back and delight in you, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So this morning, as we conclude, and I know we all find ourselves different places, and this is an altar call, and I think of a lot of times we think, Jesus, we have to make this decision, and we automatically think some of us have things in our mind that we all need to change, but God this morning is just saying, my child, just make a step forward. Just make a step forward. When Peter was at the gate, beautiful, and there was a man there crippled, he reached out his hand. And I don't imagine that Peter grabbed the guy and lifted him up. that as the hand was outstretched, he grabbed it back, and as he lifted his healing, his miracle happened. When Jesus called his disciples, he didn't say, here's my address, meet me here at 6 o'clock, or climb the highest mountain. He just simply said, follow me. And they said, okay. So this morning, it doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter what you're going through, doesn't matter what situation is waiting for you at home or at work tomorrow or the court case. God is offering every single person here peace. He's offering you rest, and all he wants you to say is take a step. And when we come down here as a family, whether your arms are open, whether you're kneeled, bowed, whatever it is, I just want to say, God, search my heart and show me an area of my life that I can turn back to you. The altars are open. If you feel this tug, I want you to come down here and just make this prayer to God. God, whatever area of my life, whatever situation, and God, right now, maybe a couple, maybe I'm sitting in some places I never thought I was sitting in, and maybe no, I'm not doing this crazy sin or anything, but my attitude has been so bad, God. I've been doubting everything. I've had a bad spirit, and God, I need you to take that away from me, God. And instead of thinking about that, of the hurt, God, and maybe there's a hurt that somebody's done, and it bothers me so bad, and I meditate it, I think about it. I don't even want to. I try to escape from it, but today, God, instead of trying to run to other things, I'm running to you, Jesus. I'm running to you, Jesus, and I'm asking you to come in, God. Take over, Lord Jesus, the pain. Take over the hurt, God. Take over the pride, God. I want to delight in you, Jesus. I want to meditate on you, God.
I come,
Jesus, speak to my heart, speak to my mind. Show me, God, the area. Show me the relationship. Show me the dynamics, Jesus. Show me the things that I need to change, God. Show me the times that I need to adjust so that I can delight in you and spend time with you and meditate, because, God, I want to prosper, Jesus. I know you want me to. I want to live successfully. I want to live with your light, God, and your peace, God, and your rest, Jesus, under your anointing, God.
Come on, that's it. I feel the presence of the Lord here.
I need.
Come on, he's calling for you.
Oh,
hallelujah.
Need.
Oh, God. God, we're hungry for you. God, we desire you. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I come.
Come on, there's a sweet presence of the Lord in this house. He's calling for you today. Talk to him today. God, I want more of you. God, I desire to have more of you. Can't change yesterday. I can't change the past. But what I can do, God, so I can run to you this morning. I can run to you, God. Hallelujah. Oh, I love you.
I come.
I love you, Jesus. Sharakaya rasoraki.
I need.
Come on, let this be your prayer.
Oh, I need thee.
I need thee. I need you, God. I need you, God. I need thee.
Bless me now,
my Savior. I come to thee. One more time. Raise your hands and sing it to the Lord.
I need thee, oh,
I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee.
What a tremendous word from the Lord. I don't know what you got out of it, but I got out of what the theme of even the Word of God is. That life and death, blessing and cursing. The choice is ours to choose what we want. Do we want to just go through mundane life, repeating past disappointments, cycles of the past? We're going to break some things up and say, you know what? I'm going to run to God. I may have been hanging around the wrong council. I may have been standing where I shouldn't stand and sitting where I shouldn't be sitting. But today, I'm going to change today. You can't change yesterday, but you can change today. And by changing today, you change your tomorrow and you change your future and you change the generations to come. By making up your mind, I want him. I need him. One more time collectively, would you raise your hands and raise your voice? And could you just love him and thank him?